Well, today is a famous holiday. Does anybody know what it is? Huh? What is it, Chuck?
It's his birthday.
He's over 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or 40.
You always be younger than me, Chuck.
Chuck was born in 59, so he's 56, 57 today. Somehow he remembers
youngster.
That. Just a kid. Oh, yeah. I didn't hear it, but whatever it was. Well, we got a lot of strange scriptures. A lot of them have been going through my head this last week or so. The Bible says to beware when all men speak well of you.
That's right.
I'd like to have everybody talk nice about me.
Yeah, I like
you know what I mean? And it hasn't been that way, but you know what I mean? You'd like that. And indeed, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
That's right.
And I ran into a scripture just recently that started to unwind me. And the scripture says that many are called, but few are chosen.
Right.
And I thought, how many people are in churches that have been called? God called them. But if they don't work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, they're not going to be chosen. And then another scripture. I don't know how I happened to hear this one. I listened to scriptures, but it says that what is going to happen is that Jesus is going to send his angels to take out of his kingdom all things that offend. And I'm saying, what do you mean out of his kingdom?
That's right. That's kind of scary.
What do you do with that? He's going to take all things out of his kingdom. You know, I can already feel a lot of the pressure against truth. It's not that we got truth, but we're getting a love for it. And I can feel the pressure coming against truth. Jesus said, he told Pilate, he says, I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. So when he came, what did he speak? He spoke the truth that God put in his mouth. And see, God is not a man that he should lie. Whatever God says is truth. And so Jesus said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And so he came unto his own. Now, whether this means Jesus came unto those that were his nation, his people, and they received him not, or whether God in Christ came unto him and they received him not, either way, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter how you put it. But it said, they received him not. But the Bible says, but to as many as do receive him, and you know what? I begin to understand. We don't quite understand that word, receive. Actually, let me reword it in this, saying the same thing. He came unto his own, and they believed him not. That's what it really was. He came unto his own, and they believed him not, but to as many as believed him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Some places says gave him, translations say gave him, he gave the right to become. Well, so here's Jesus, born of a virgin. He's ministering and he's preaching. You know, John the Baptist came along and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus comes along and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." I mean, they kind of started out with the same thing. And so then in John, okay, now Jesus had brothers and sisters, which some, you know, the Catholic Church kind of denies that, but the Bible says he did. And two of them, that for sure were Jude and James? Jude and James. And, but anyway, but the thing about it is, Jude and James didn't always believe in him. In John 7:5, I know that because I just looked it up this morning, wasn't sure where it was. It says, "And neither did his brethren believe in him." And I thought, here he is. Now they're following him. I mean, this is a scripture setting in the 7th chapter of John. He's on his way up to this feast. They went up ahead of him to the feast, and they asked him if he's coming, and he says, I don't know what answer he gave him, but he tarried behind, see? And they said, "Well, listen, you should go up to the feast. Listen, anybody that does the things that you do needs to be recognized." See, that's the world they look at it. It's like they need to see who you are, what you can do. And they say, because they're looking at it like he's some magician or something. See, and it says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." They didn't believe him. And so I'm wondering, and you know what, I have no way of knowing this, but I'm wondering how much information Mary and Joseph gave to their children. Did Joseph tell his sons and his daughters that I'm not really his daddy? Or did it just go on without, you know what I mean? What do you suppose? And you know what? No matter what answer you give me, you don't know either. But the thing is, somehow they were not under the impression that he was anything more than one of their brothers in the flesh. Do you follow me? And so anyway. But I read that scripture and I heard that scripture in John 7:5, and I've heard it for years, but read it and stuff. And you know what I used to feel? I used to feel this ache. It's like, you know what? What a shame. The one that God made into his word, the word that was made flesh, this is him. And his brothers don't believe it. And I thought, is it a possibility that his very brothers are going to go to hell? I anguished. I don't know how to write words. I felt bad. And I'd say for a number of years. And then one day, the Lord opened, showed me the scriptures. In the first chapter of Acts, his mother and his brethren were in the upper room, I thought. Then we see later where James and Jude wrote some pretty strong things in the Bible, and that they're acknowledged as being the brothers of Jesus. So I'm saying that what appears to us is not always the way that it's going to be. I have been overly concerned, like a lot of other people, or not overly, but more than I should have been, probably, over this coming election. And I told Charlie about it. I said that no matter what happens, all hell's going to break loose. And but you know, I got a piece maybe about a week ago. It's like, you know what? And Joanne keeps telling me this all the time. It's like God's in charge.
Amen.
And it don't matter how you vote. Vote, but it don't matter how you vote, because however you vote is what God put in you to vote. Because God's in charge, and he's going to have in place whoever he wants for whatever reasons. If he wants all hell to break loose, that's what he's going to do. Either way, it's going to break loose. You know what I mean? There's a scripture in Proverbs 29:2. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, then the people mourn. That's what it says. Make you feel better? Not necessarily so, I suppose. But
yeah. Well, where is our rock? You know? Where's our rock? I think we spend a lot of our life having our rock be in the United States of America. But that's not where our rock should be.
That's right.
Yes. Our rock is in Jesus Christ. And, who knows what's going to happen in the next month. But one thing I'm sure of, and that is that our rock will continue to be Jesus Christ, regardless of, regardless. Now, I was thinking, the Bible tells us that, faith without works is dead. But then it also tells us that works make no difference, Well, how do you make sense of that? I'll answer that question. You can't. You can't make sense of it. But, I love that. I love not making sense of it. I love that, I want to embrace that fact that, you got to have works, but that won't do you any good, I want to embrace that. I want to make it, I want to love that. I want to hold my arms around that, because that's what my God is all about. I was thinking, this morning of, being on a bus. And, the bus stops at Make Senseville, I don't want to get off the bus at Make Senseville. I want to stay on that bus. Beyond making sense. Beyond that. To that place of grace. Grace doesn't make a lick of sense. It just, it doesn't make any sense. But, older brother, he was in Make Senseville. And it, he was dealing with a situation that didn't make any sense. And he had some real trouble with it. I don't want to have trouble. I don't want to have the same trouble as the older brother did. I want to stay on that bus. I want to keep on going to hope and charity and grace and that good place. That good place where making sense is just something you toss off. Anyway. I was going to say God bless America. I don't know that I will say that. God bless the rock, though.
Well, I don't know. Lately, I've been in a little fear of getting kicked off the bus, so. Which is good. Because it's a. No, the godly fear of being kicked off. If. I had had to take a good look at all this thing about elections, because I always believe you vote, you know, to have your say. But I don't know that I'm in that place this time, because if I don't think either one's good, why would I want to say one is good? Or, you know, so I may not vote, because it's not strongly on my heart to vote. So I don't know, you know, because I know exactly what Charlie said and Keith said. I know my God is in charge, and he's going to make happen what's, and you know, I think, I mean, I've been having, like I say, a godly fear, partly because some of them parables about the thief in the night and such are starting to have a little effect on me. And see, we sometimes don't understand how fast something can unravel, you know. And, you know, it doesn't say that from what I've seen, some may go right away. But it doesn't say everybody gets out of the tribulation either that's Christian, you know. And which in a way is hope, if you're still here, don't give up. You know what I mean? Because I think God's going to give every opportunity. You know, and the other thing I realized, I think in a lot of people's minds that are Christians, Americans especially, think that God, they think that the whole world should become Christian. Well, I mean, yes, that would be the ultimate ideal. If everyone was a Christian, you wouldn't have 95% of what's wrong. But that isn't truth. I mean, that's not going to happen. Yes, it's God's will that everyone be saved. But nowhere does it show that everyone gets saved. And I've been seeing all those little things. And one of the things that caught my attention, and I was reading, looking for things. You know, I may have confusion again after this morning after I read some. I was reading along, and I kept seeing the woman who came and kissed Jesus' feet and tears and wiped his feet. And the woman that came and anointed him with oil. And I think in the first three Gospels, it just says a woman. One says a woman who was a sinner. And then all of a sudden I go, wow, I didn't read about it in John. Because I was thinking, I thought it was Mary Magdalene was the one. I always assumed that was who it was. Well, that's not true. But it is Mary. And it's Martha's sister Mary, I believe. Because that's what it says in John. Not that it's a big deal. But some of these things you run across and you just go, God, I never saw that or understood that or something. For whatever it... Well, anyway, in Luke, I saw a little thing about like what Keith was saying. The example on... I thought I had the right chapter. Shoot. I probably marked it and then the marker left. Well, it's concerning. Remember the scripture that says, and the Bereans were more noble because they... So kind of in my mind I went, oh, so all the Bereans believed. But now I can't find where I read. They don't all believe. Oh, Acts, not Luke. That's right. Yeah, thank you. I was going to ask if anybody knew where it was for sure, but let me see now if I... Because I don't want to take the time looking unless somebody finds it quick, but yeah, it says they all, but it says, but not all believed. So, you can be with the right heart, which they were more of a right heart than most of the Jews, because they just plain weren't going to accept Christ's words, you know. And they weren't going to accept Well, they weren't hearing, I don't believe, any of the scriptures that he quoted in the Old Testament that showed him and led to him. And then the Bereans searched, and some of them, or maybe they all somewhat saw it, but only certain ones actually accepted that he was the Christ. So, you know, it's kind of like Simon, the one that was the sorcerer. And it says he believed and was baptized. Yet, he had a side of him that was evil. I mean, it was bad. It was wicked because he... Oh, see, I was looking in Luke 17 because I was getting mixed up. Thank you. Yes, okay. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness. So they received the word with all readiness, searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. And also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. So not all of them believed. Many believed. And, I mean, and then the disciples that were walking with Jesus. And then when he gave the whole thing about eating his flesh and his blood. And after that, many walked away. In fact, all of them pretty much, other than the 12, were left. So, there is no way I believe in eternal security. I mean, and I just started seeing you can have a lot of truth and still be drawn away. You know, and I haven't felt that till just recently. And it's kind of scary. But I'm thinking if I'm seeing it, then it's hopeful, you know, because I'm aware of it and now I'm dealing with it because there's just areas of my life that I know are lacking. I mean, they're just lacking. And I want to be able to proclaim the word, you know, and so... And I just, as I'm reading now, I'm just seeing how I'm just so far from where the followers were, you know. And I feel like I've been a lot closer at other times in my life, you know. But at the same time, I know more now than I ever knew, you know. And, of course, I've learned to keep praying that, you know, asking, don't give up on me. Just keep me coming. Keep me going. Don't give up on me. I hope, I'm believing my heart is right, you know, and my flesh is just a little stronger these days than it should be, you know. So anyway, that's what is going to probably create gnashing of teeth, is people will not believe that they're not already on the way. You know, and I mean, they can look really like strong Christians and may not be on the way, and they aren't going to want to hear that. And I just truly believe that the whole gospel has to be preached again to the world, because it isn't been. It was maybe at one time, you know. But it's obvious that it isn't now. And I mean, I'm just looking at what they're saying in Acts and everything and what they're preaching. That is not being preached. So how can the gospel be going out? You know? So everyone thinks we are close, but... And they think that everyone has been kind of... I think I heard years ago that they felt just about everybody in the world has received the Word of God. Well, they've received a word, you know, And some of it is of God, because they've given them scriptures and they've given them the Bible in lots of places. But that doesn't mean that the actual gospel has been preached, you know, that gets you into the kingdom of God. And, you know, and it's like I caught that one scripture where Jesus says to the one guy, he answered correctly, and he says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." It didn't say you're in. It said you're getting there. Don't quit. Keep continuing, you know. And I mean, yeah, take up my cross daily. Not one time on your knees at the altar of a church, you know, when you were born again. Daily. And I, you know what? I have some dear relatives who, you know, I shouldn't be judging, because maybe, but I feel that if they have the right heart, then they'll hear this message in the end, before the end comes, you know. But thinking that they're doing things so correctly, you know what I mean? And I'm sitting there, and I have nothing. My children, I don't feel, are at this point probably saved. Theirs are, supposedly. I mean, they've confessed and are walking in, you know, doing the things that you're supposed to do in Christianity. But if it's all based on a false doctrine, then it's not the true gospel. You know, and it's just like I'm feeling. Just because I was born again 30 years ago, some 30 years ago, been filled with the Spirit, speak in tongues, is no guarantee. It's not even a guarantee to have all that. But you better want to have all of that, because I'm feeling like I'd probably been done a long time ago if I wouldn't have had what I have, you know, by God's grace and mercy. And it's like whatever experience you had that brought you to Christ when you were born again, which generally means we were completely at a place where we said, "I'm a sinner, I am totally wrong, I need you, Lord, come into my life." Well, you know what? We have to keep doing that. That's where we had to come that's where you have to come to stay as a little child. You got to keep saying that daily, you don't know anything, you know? And that he keeps teaching you by the Holy Spirit. You know, when that finally settled in, I just thought, that is the ultimate answer. That is the answer. There is an answer, and that's it. This word, taught by the Holy Spirit, is all you got to have. I mean, and continue on in it. You know, what is more wonderful to know that the God who's actually did create everything and is over the whole universe wants to teach you personally from his Spirit. What could be better than that? You know, but you know, if it's like, you know, the one statement, well, if we don't stop this, the Romans are going to come and take away our positions. You know what? There's countless leaders of Christianity out there who do not want to lose their position. Nope. And they want to keep as many under them as possible. You know, I remember the statement when people said, "Well, you got to have somebody in charge, because if you don't, who knows? The people will just get crazy or whatever." Well, now you've had somebody in charge of these, and it didn't do any good, did it? You know, I mean, and I used to think that. I thought, yes, you got to have leaders. Otherwise, you know, people just start believing what they want. Well, people have been believing what they want all this time, you know? And now it's like, yeah, I can't, if you go off, not so, I can't do anything about it. But I know that if you will trust this word, you'll be in the right place. And yeah, you know what? When this stuff really starts manifesting, you're not going to look normal. You're not going to be average. You know? And especially if God backs it up with signs and wonders. And then you say the truth, which most of them don't want to hear. Just like back then. You know, it's all, I feel like it's all going to happen again. Just like it did with the first church. Because how else is he going to usher in the end of the age? Truth has to come. Judgment on the earth has to come. You know, to make it finalized. And to get who he wants. And to save all that he wants. And then to bring judgment on the rest, which is horrible. You know, and one of the things I've been starting to pray, which even, it almost scares me to pray it because, and I, maybe some of you won't relate, but I need a heart for souls. I mean, yes, I know. Yes, I want to. No, I got to have a heart for it. I mean, I got to make it where it aches. That's where I'm thinking, anyway. It's got to settle in somehow where, you know, nothing else is more important. Because, well, that's just where you got to get, I think, you know. And then you're willing to take whatever comes at you for that love. You know, I need a love that's there like that. I need to be rid of unselfishness, you know. I mean, it's just, so, yeah, that's all I'm going to say on that, I guess.
A couple things. Many things. Yesterday, I was at a gathering that some of you were at, and we were praying, and I was struck by the meekness in which that prayer took place. I was in a group of people with, I would say, about as strong of religious backgrounds, convictions as I know, and people were praying, but there wasn't any human natural tendency to it. You know, God do this. All you have to do is say, God, do this. It struck me. It also struck me that there might have been five churches there and no one wanted to kind of jump out and be out of character. I don't know which was more at work there. But I was touched by that. And I usually don't go to a lot of these events where there's other people's and things simply because I don't feel led to do that usually. But I was struck by that. If you think that by knowing more, you have learned that you don't know anything, you are right where God wants you to be. And isn't it amazing? And praise God for the fact that I now know that I know less, even though I learned a lot to learn that I know less. I have learned a lot. I know less. What I know is how great He is. And how not I am. There are a couple things said today that kind of poke at maybe my conservative tendencies that I want to make a comment on. I kind of find the country a lot like the dry bones.
Oh, yeah.
We have walked away from God. We were founded on God. And we pretty much turn away from God, at least publicly. In our homes, we don't. But we let those who rule over us walk away from God. So has God taken His favor off of the country? Perhaps. Because we know it wouldn't be scriptural to think that the Israelites always won every battle they went into without God's help. Just like the U.S., gee, I wonder how much God helped the U.S. from 1640 to 2016. Is that us or has that been God? I don't know. And then we talked about works and faith. And works and faith and not doing works or doing works without faith. Both are bad. You need to have works. You need to put your faith into action. But if you don't have the right heart when you're putting your faith into action, you're not putting faith or action into heart. You're putting yourself. And you're trying to prop yourself up before God and saying, did I punch my ticket? Did I punch my ticket? And we've said correctly, even today we said correctly, that is not it. I've often said that we're in a race that never ends. And to do what is necessary for us, you have to continue to run that race. And the finish line is when God says it's finished. So, as people have said, every day, pick up your cross. I don't know. You know, Keith mentioned that all hell is going to break loose. Is that a bad thing? If you're on a ship and the ship is going to crash into the rocks, and that's a perception, you can disagree or agree with that. What do? Do you just sit back and watch it? Or do you look forward to it and embrace it? Because you go, this ship needs to hit the rocks anyways. So, all hell breaking loose is not something to be fearful of. It's a chance for God to work. So, I don't know. I love my brother Ken, and I understand exactly where he's coming from when he says, do I vote against this, or do I vote against that, or do I decide not to vote at all? Then I think about that works thing. Yeah, well, do I have a responsibility? I don't know. I'll tell you. I'm not happy with what's going on around me in the natural. So I can only do a couple things. And get up here and take up some of your time complaining about it. I can vote against it. And I can tell you that I think it's okay if all hell breaks loose. Because God will work if all hell breaks loose. I can say with 100% conviction that the best times of my life from a spiritual standpoint has been when God has allowed all hell to break loose. When He takes away all of the things that I count on or depend on or assume that I have, all my protections, and gets me down to me and Him. Man, He's been really good at those times. He has not forsaken me, even though all hell's broken loose. So, I don't know. There's a probably better than 50% chance that no matter what happens, God's going to do something because this country is as divided as it's been. And the people that I think are leading to become the next leaders do not look to me to be team builders. I think they're just going to entrench. And so we're going to become more divided. And you know what? That's okay. Someone mentioned how quickly it can all come down. And I was thinking, because I tend to do this, well, let's look at us. How long did it take for it all to come down? In the natural, we had a rock. We had multiple layers of elderships and multiple churches and multiple states and multiple leaders. It didn't take long for God to fix that.
No.
It doesn't take long for God to do what God's going to do. So, I don't want this to sound like I'm depressed or discouraged. I'm not. I am in agreement with it just doesn't matter. God is in control. God is in control. But I don't think we should be fearful that all hell's going to break loose. I think we should embrace it. We should look forward to it. Because we would say, even today, that we're not where we want to be. God is certainly not done with us. We are certainly not where we want to be with relationship with Him. The question is, are we the dry bones? Or are we going to listen to His voice? Because I think right now we've turned away from that corporately. But I can tell with all of you, we've never been more focused towards that. And the question you ask is, well, what can God do with that? And the scripture says, everything. Everything He needs to do, He can do with nothing. He has done it throughout our history. He's turned our enemies against each other. And then, so I'm left with, you know, what am I accountable for in all of that? To do with a good heart, to trust God, to have faith in Him, and let Him continue to work in me. Because, again, as my brother shared, and I love him, I am so far from where I need to be, and the only thing that saves me is that I acknowledge I'm so far from where I need to be. Because if you don't, as Jesus said, you've committed the bigger sin because you don't think you need. And you need. I need. Anyways, I'm looking forward to October 10th or November 10th or the day after. The madness will stop. And we can all go back to trying to be what we need to be before God. Let the world settle. And look forward to what He's going to do.
I just want to say amen to about everything that was said. Funny, this morning at home, Charlie says, you know, November 9th, we could just really have some problems. And my answer is, on November 9th, I have this good Father that's up there, and I'm not worried, okay? I'm not worried. It just, they want you to worry. Who is they? The devil wants you to worry. Who is the author of fear? The devil. This side says, if you don't do this, then this. And the other side says, if you don't do this, then this. Zach, I mean, obviously those two things cancel each other out. I don't have to do what either one of them say because it cancels it out. And it doesn't matter because my God is still my God and He is in charge. And I am with Corgi. That, now, I mean, I'm not saying it all, blah, blah, blah. It probably would not be pleasant. Whatever it would take to really get me to where I really should be would probably not be pleasant, and my flesh would not like it, okay? But, you know, continuing on in the same old, nothing's really challenging you and these things aren't coming off that are supposed to be coming off of that, that's just way worse. That's just way worse than having happen whatever it is that God really wants to have happen. So I wholeheartedly say amen to everything, and only I was just one thing was a little fearful, and it was when Keith said, when all men speak well of you, beware. Because I went, oh no, because they really like me. Everybody likes me. What is going to happen when they don't like me? Well, that would probably be a good thing. I'm probably still, I'm at the point where I haven't pushed it far enough that they're going to speak ill of me. But I keep it up. It'll probably happen. So, okay, God bless you all.
just learned today that we have to vote to Wednesday, November 9th?
No, the voting date is November 8th.
That's how worried I am about the election. I didn't even know what it was. I knew it was November 8th.
It's not the
28th. No, it's not the 28th. I'm going to rephrase a popular phrase. All hell is going to break loose. I'm going to rephrase it to all heaven is going to break loose. Because through the Adam and Eve, when the heavens break loose, is when ugly things happen. You know, ugly things to see. You know, it's not ugly in the sight of God. That's what He wants. That's the best thing there is. And so it's heaven that breaks loose. In fact, Jesus says, and you know, and in the last days, you know, the moon is going to turn into blood, blah, blah. It says, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. You know, and I see it like, you know, the heavens shaking and things falling down out of it and making a mess. But it's heaven breaking loose. So, you know, be calm and just know that it's heaven. It's heaven breaking loose. And we've been talking about believing and not believing, or believers or not believers. When I was a kid, I used to do this art project. I would have a blank piece of paper, and I would take a glue stick and make a drawing with a stick of glue, and you wouldn't see it on the paper. Then when you put like a pound of sand on the paper, and then you will shake the paper off, and then you will have a picture of whatever you drew with a stick of glue. But out of all this pound of sand, you only have like a half an ounce of sand left on the paper with a picture. And sometimes I do feel like when the preaching the gospel is a bit like that, you have this pound of sand on a piece of paper, but only sticks to a very few people. You know, few are chosen. You know, it's just there's not a lot of people with glue in their paper. I don't know what made me think about all this when Ken was speaking, or anyways. But you know, the parable of the sower. What can we do to make anybody a believer? You know what? Not much. The parable of the sower is just the Son of Man. He just throws seeds all over the place. There's not one spot on earth that is not covered with the seed. But some of them do this, some of them do that, some of them do that. Some of them, it starts to grow. It does grow. It looks real nice for a while. And that's what Kenneth was talking about, you know. Are we the ones that for a while? I pray not. But some of them will endure. You know what I mean? Some of them will endure and have eternal life. So, it does not matter what we see. Really, or what we hear much. If you don't have stick glue on your paper, if you're not chosen, it doesn't matter what you see or do or hear. For example, Jesus was with the disciples, and he walked on water, and then he got into the boat, and then the disciple says, "You are the Son of God." You know, they believed him. So it took a little bit of Jesus walked on water. The disciples, yes, you are the Son of God. We're good to go. They believed him. No problem. But then there's other people that saw him doing greater things, and they did not believe him. Just greater things. There's this guy when Jesus was on the cross. He says, "You save others, why don't you save yourself?" I'm like, so are you telling me that you know he saved others? And you are crucified him? What are you doing? It does not matter you're not fertile ground. It doesn't matter how much seed and water and sunlight you put there. You cannot grow it on a rock. You know what I mean? And Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the Son of Man, Son of God?" I don't want to quote it exactly. I don't want to. But Jesus basically said, "It does not matter what I tell you of who I am. You will by no means believe." That's exactly what Jesus says. You will by no means believe. I could tell you I'm the Son of God. I could raise everybody from the dead that is dead right now. I could do all the things and you will by no means believe. Why do you want me to tell you who I am? You won't believe. You just won't believe it. You are not fertile ground. And so who's fertile ground? I don't know. But the seed, you know, the seed's gotta still be thrown out there everywhere. And I know. And what does Paul say? I plant the seed, God's water, and gives the increase or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just God gives the increase, you know. So yes, yeah, throw the seed and see what happens. But anyways.
Refreshing. Wonderful testimonies and exhortations. I thought of a scripture this morning, and I had to wait a while because there was lots of other people that had things to say, but the scripture is still there. It's in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And in the fourth verse, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down. Now, we don't really relate a lot to that yet, but let me, I don't know what I want to call it, prediction, or it's not really, I'm not going to say it's prophetic, but you're going to have your chance. God never gives information and input and fills people with what he's doing with us without opening the door at some point to use it. Now the next verse, after that, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. The word imagination comes from the word images. Casting down images. Imaginations. If you imagine something, you know, image. It's an image. Casting down imaginations. Hold on. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. For there is one God. And one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Does everybody that you know believe that? The whole scripture points toward, everything in the scripture from Genesis through Revelation points towards that scripture setting. That's truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, okay? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What do you do with it? What did I just say? What did I just read? You cast it down. God is going to raise up a people to straighten out the Godhead picture. And he is going to speak through them. And I tell you what, they'll be just about as popular as the bubonic plague. But God is going to do it anyway. You know what? I'm not sure, but I know that a time is coming soon. I am getting people that are obviously that don't like me because of the thing I'm saying that Jesus is the Son of Man. That he's a man. And because I say that, and you know what? You know why I say that? Because that's what the scriptures tell me. So what are you going to preach? When God anoints you to stand up and preach, what are you going to say? You believe in something that's false, or are you going to say, the scriptures say this. This is what the Bible says. What are you going to say? When I first got saved, and we started talking and preaching to people, you know what? I preached what I knew. What do I do today? You preach what you know. Do I know everything? No, but I know a lot more than I did. And I liked what Corky said, right? He's heard me say that a number of times myself. It's like, the more I know, it seems like the less I know. But the thing is, now, the things that you start to know are the truth versus what we used to know, which we didn't know what it was. Anyways.
You know, Pablo said that it's not all hell that's going to break loose, and he thinks it's going to be all heaven that breaks loose. And there's a scripture that speaks to that. Let me read it. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. I'll start reading in verse 25. It says, "See to it," I'm reading from the NIV, "see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they do not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, and now he has promised, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens.'" The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, what he's going to, the thing, the shaking is going to be, it's heaven. Shaking things out of heaven. Yeah, it'll be, hell's going to break loose, but it is heaven that is going to be shaken.
I just had one other thought that I forgot to say before, and I think, was it Ken that said how soon something can change? Or maybe it was Corky. I don't remember. But anyway, you know, think about it. Think about it. There were these people having a vacation that one December over in the, wherever it was, that country, in the Mideast, Southeast, whatever, islands. And this, all of a sudden they look up and this tidal wave come and just washed them all away. I mean, that was that quick. How about you're working in this big, tall office building in New York and a plane crashes into it? I mean, we do not know. I mean, we just go around just living this life and we don't know. Or maybe for your life it would be, maybe for my life it would be, you know, I'm going along in this hunky-dory life and Charlie's taken from me. That would shake me, especially if it happened quickly. You just don't know how your life can just flip over. And so the only thing we should be concerned about is our spiritual life and our relationship with our Father and the fact that His Son shed His blood to cause us to have a communion with Him where we would be us and the Father. We'd be one with Him because of the work that Jesus Christ did. That's the only thing that's important, and that is what we need to be. That's got to be it. That's got to be it. Forget all this other stuff. That's got to be what we're pushing towards.
In the days of Noah.
Right.
The bus. here's what you're going to be. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing, to the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? I like that scripture, but I mean, at the same time, it's very, I mean, it's serious, you know, it's serious. So, yeah, isn't that interesting to that fellow that long, quite some time ago now said, well, everybody's saved. Really? It doesn't sound like it there, does it? So, amen.
The thing we have to realize is that no matter how pretty it is, it doesn't matter. You know, the disciples, on the day of Pentecost, they were commissioned to preach. And so they preached in Jesus' name. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders got upset. And they arrested him and they said, you have to stop preaching in that name. You know what I mean? And they said, and they made a statement, and it's a profound statement at some point. I'm adding a lot of things, putting a lot of things together in what I'm saying. But, and they said, you tell us, do we go by what you say, or do we go by what God says? Amen. You know what? If you go by what God says, you're going to lose some friends.
That's right.
If you go by what men say, you just be in a state of confusion. So I'd rather, and it's like, am I going to lose some friends? Am I going to, what about some loved ones? What about some close friends? Matthew 10. A man's foes will be those of his own household. And many will kill you thinking they're doing God's service. Anyway, let's come up to the front, unless you have something to share. You have something? Okay.
I was just peeking because one God kind of stuck with me today. So I was just trying to find out how many other times it's mentioned in the Bible. And computers. Malachi 2:10. Do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we live, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we live. And then Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And then, of course, Timothy, 1 Timothy. I just found it interesting. Mm-hmm. There are multiple references to just being one God.
One other, as Corky was reading it, it reminded me of a verse. And in 1 Corinthians 11:3, and it says,